Devin and Morgana celebrating midlife love by getting married 100 times in 100 countries. They believe grown-up love gets better and more fun, especially for women. Everyone's smarter, wiser. Men are more relationship ready. And if they're not, it's obvious. Forget anything you were told about being too old or too late for love and adventure. Instead, get fresh new tips on dating, relating, and travel to exotic destinations. And best of all, call in for personal guidance, creating crazy, sexy midlife love in your life.
Hello, welcome to Crazy Sexy Midlife Love. My name is Morgana, and this is my husband, Devin.
Thank you for being here.
Thank you for being here.
I was talking to them.
Oh, yes. Thank you for being here.
Yes, our audience is actually really important. You are too.
But I come in like a close third or fourth. Like,
that's right.
I'm solidly in the top 10.
You are solidly in the top 10.
So what's been going on since our last episode, my love?
That's a great question. We got back from Mexico, feeling refreshed, getting things done, back in action. The universe is starting to feel like things are getting back to normal, mm-hmm. at least in Southern California, where we're based.
Yeah.
I think generally, you know, when I go out, people seem to be a little bit less skittish, shall we say. Which is all good stuff, And
well, my favorite thing is we had our first in-person group West Coast swing class since I think the first week of March, 2020. And I forgot like how happy that makes me. In fact, it makes me so happy that I danced for 3 hours before I realized that I had my shoes on the wrong feet, which explained why my balance was oddly off during turns. But the great thing about like this phase of life is, you know, you notice it and who knows who else noticed it. Fortunately, most people are too self-absorbed to notice stuff like that. And there's just, you know, it might have mortified me when I was younger. And now it's like, oh,
So this does, in fact, beg the question, how does that even happen unless you're four?
I can't answer
crazy
you.
Toddler.
I think I was just so excited that I can't answer that. I have no idea how I did that.
Yeah, that's showing a measure of enthusiasm that doesn't quite make sense. But I'm glad. I mean, I hope you don't have to see a podiatrist after this.
Well, and
this
our
experience.
Our teacher must have noticed, but didn't say anything. By the way, our teacher, Ben Morris, was the teacher of that class. Google it. Google Ben Morris, Jack and Jill. Oh, my God. He's amazing.
He's an outrageously good dancer.
He praised our open position, our like post anchor position. You know, he said, get into an anchor position. And he pointed us out. And I am, as my husband said, 4 years old, and I am still like high as a kite on that phrase, on that little itty bitty drop of praise. Whoa.
Yeah, I don't even remember it happening.
That's why it's my job.
I know. I'm glad that you're enthusiastic and it was fun to get out. It was fun.
I got
to get
a star and a happy face, you know.
That's all that really matters, mm-hmm. isn't it? Yes. So maybe your shoes were on the wrong feet for good reasons.
And the funny thing about being happy in love is you start seeing happy love everywhere that I didn't see during my long wandering in the desert wasteland of singlehood. By the way, a lot of great things about singlehood, and I'm glad I lived it fully so that I could appreciate what I have. But oh my God, I just keep meeting people who met at midlife who are really super happy. Like I think dancers, Annie and Alan. I want to invite them on this show. And I was on a podcast being interviewed recently, a podcast called Insights to Live By. And I liked the host so much. And what I really liked about the host is how in love with his wife he is. And they met in midlife. And he says they haven't had an argument in 5 years.
How did that happen?
How does that happen?
I don't know. But do, like, we have some?
Are they okay? Are they alive? Like, that's just, we'll have to ask him about that. So he is today's guest, because even now, even, you know, what, 9 years into this relationship with Devin, I mean, men are still like this fascinating mystery. So I love to hear about how they fall in love.
So we have that opportunity now, right?
We have that opportunity. I see that he is in the waiting room, so I'm just going to briefly introduce him and then we'll bring him in. So let me tell you about Matt. Matt Zinman is a difference maker, an optimist, an author, a podcast host, obviously, and a nonprofit founder and well-being advocate. And he is the author of Zeisms, Insights to Live By. Welcome. Welcome, Matt.
It is wonderful to be with you. Thank you, Morgana. Hi, Devin.
Hey, man.
Matt, meet Devin. Devin, meet Matt.
Yes.
So, yes. Let's dive into like the good stuff that I want to know first.
Okay.
How did you meet your wife and how did you know she was the one?
Ah, so my wife's name is Erica and she is a certified health coach. We met on Match. And it's interesting. Through the years, I'd actually done, used Match and related services to, you know, people I've met prior to Erica, but it was her first time. Somebody had kind of put her up to it. And she, I think, received in her first weekend about 300 to 400 responses. And she decided to go on her first date with me because I actually read her profile. It wasn't like, hey, baby, you know, love your smile or any of that, which she described as the typical, what she got. I expressed interest.
You are hot. Yeah.
Right. So that got me the date. And you know, it's truly love at first sight. She's a single mom as well. And at the time, obviously, we're now married. She's daughter Greta, who's now 16. My son Jake is turning 21 soon. And Greta was, it was an afternoon date, which was so unusual. It's like, okay, we have like this 3-hour window. What do I do for an afternoon date? So we went chip and putt. And then we went out for, to have a nice outdoor meal. And, you know, I had a flower for her afterwards. It was a contingency flower, I'm not going to lie. But
what does that mean?
Well, if the date didn't go well, there's no flower to give.
Oh, right. So you gave her this rose for the next date.
Tucked away. So, yeah, so we had the whole course to ourselves. And, by hole three, I think we were in love. It was just, you know, we kind of knew. It really was one of those things.
So I have to interrupt. When you say you knew, and I'm sure she was in love as well, and sometimes those things happen, I think it's fantastic. How did you know? I mean, was it literally like, oh, I saw her shoulder, there was a movement in her face or something? What was the thing that was like, oh, my God, I'm in trouble? Because you'd obviously been single before and... Right. You know, that didn't happen before. What was the thing?
So in thinking about it, we certainly had a little bit of an exchange prior to the date that was favorable. I mean, my wife's, you know, she's beautiful. And so I certainly had a very strong attraction. And we just hit it off right away. You know, to your question, Devin, you know, and coming into the conversation here, I realized like I've had 7 long-term relationships, 7 committed relationships in my life. You know, like, you know, what is that? Well, you know, there were more than a few sleepovers. We went on vacations together and things. It wasn't all that we were, you know, I think when you're like going on typical like getaways and vacations together or meeting families over and then over a period of time, that qualifies. Lots of infatuations and multiple dates before that, but she, you know, seven's my number. And but the reality is that having had all that experience through all those other relationships, you certainly had gained a great sense of yourself and other people. What it is that you know doesn't work to a degree, I just knew. I can't say that I've really experienced love at first sight, truly, prior to Erica. And now I know. I mean, she's the love of my life. And so, you know, I don't know if you talk about soulmates or what your belief is about soulmates. It certainly is as close to that reality for me. And so, yeah, you know, it was just an energy thing as well, I think, to answer your question.
You know, I've talked about this before, and just because you were bringing up soulmates, you know, I believe that they're probably everybody that I've ever had some kind of where you were like, you know, seven. I think mine is right around seven, where I've had like long-term committed relationships. Their parents knew me. She knew my parents, all those kinds of things, right? It was not just we went out on a date kind of thing. I think all of those people were on the branch of soulmate-ish. In other words, I think there's lots of people that we can have great pairings with that will be meaningful.
This is a Kabbalistic.
Right? This comes from a Kabbalistic principle. I'm not going to bore you with what all that means, but basically what it suggests for me is that, you know, I think that sometimes you get the one, and then there are times where you get people that will lead you along your path from where you may need to be. So I would probably argue that six of those seven were women, while not right for the long term, for the forever kind of thing, they probably played a significant role in allowing you to be the kind of man that you could be with for your now soulmate forever woman.
Right. Yeah, no, that's absolutely true. I think for all of us, right, no substitute for experience, to say the least. And, you know, all those relationships, all those trials and tribulations as to why there were six previous and, they're not still going. You just learn along the way and they've all prepared me for what I now enjoy.
Yeah. And by the way, I think that's an incredibly, like, you know, when I look back, you know, when I was in my 20s and I look back at relationships or women who rejected me, I was very much like, I hate them. They're the worst and they should whatever. Right. And now I look back like, oh, right. No, they helped me. They helped me in ways that were really quite, quite really remarkable. So anyway, I apologize for interrupting. And I think Morgana had a thought.
Yeah. What made Erica different?
I just want to acknowledge, Devin, like you say, you always start out in these relationships that become long-term, like they're a soulmate but do they endure and why do they endure? You know, honestly, I think stability and compatibility have a lot to do with everything. If I look back at my other relationships, which really are, relevant to the answer to your question, Morgana, certainly earlier in life, as I go through, in my 20s, the first one just ended up being, somewhat turbulent. I found out later that she had an addiction that I was unaware of, that part of that equation at the time I didn't know. And then another one was like cultural differences. She was old world Irish. And, we made it work for a while, but just for the long term, it wasn't going to happen. My first wife, thankful for my son, Jake, this is a 4.5 year relationship, but there was contempt in the relationship after a period of time. And a lot of that had to do with keeping a scorecard, which is not my thing. I mean, scorecards are relationship killers. So, yeah. That's certainly just some advice I'm weaving in. Yeah, still working my way to the answer to your question. And after that, the next person I met was maybe a little bit of a rebound. And it was one of those things where, maybe love wasn't there so easily. And I felt, well, maybe love can grow. Maybe it can, but it didn't. And so after, you know, a year and a half and, you know, just nice times together, it was like this, you know, we're not here to be comfortable with one another. We need to move on. The next one, which was, you know, I was really very head over heels, was very erratic. And there was a lot of insecurity there, and in particular, jealousy for no reason. So we were, there's no reason to be jealous of me, you know, or having to be like, I don't look at other women. I'm very respectful, very old, somewhat old world chivalrous, honorable. I mean, I just, you know, I'm not a player. And yet that was still there, which was, you know, rooted in her insecurity. So to have those phantom arguments over, you know, the jealousies or insecurities just wasn't sustainable. And then I had a relationship after that, and right, the years add up, Morgana, I'm just gonna say, that it was like 6 years. And by the way, all of these women, all single moms, it was always important to me, just as a single dad, that I only wanted to date single parents. So, you know, when I put my match, you know, profile qualifications, who I'm looking for, I just felt that there was too much of a discrepancy in life priority for people who didn't have kids. So I knew that going in, and I was engaged to the person before Erica.
And I want to pause for a second for all the single parents out there who have decided that nobody will ever want you because you're a single parent. Listen to Matt. There, and you're not the first man that I've met who actually wanted someone who was already a mother, because it tells you so much. Knowing how Devin is with his daughter told me so much about who he is as a human being.
Right, right.
So not something to step over. Thank you for sharing that.
Keep going. Of course. I mean, you know, just, I don't know that I learned that right away, but it didn't take long. You know, in terms of what relationships mattered to me, and just life priorities, and how we spend our time together, and you know, all of the above. And, you know, Jake is, you know, he's an only. So that also is, you know, changes the dynamic as well. It's not, you know, easy for him to be occupy himself in that regard. And that's a minor point. But insecurity was also part of that last relationship before Erica, and alcohol was an issue. She's a functional alcoholic. So it's like, it wasn't something that was so devastating that she couldn't do her job, but there were definitely, you know, incidences that, and look, I'm not perfect. Okay. I can easily sit here and tell you what was wrong on the other side of the relationship. But you know, we're all just kind of, you know, working on ourselves. I didn't experience that with Erica. You know, Erica kind of came in as her full self. She's a veteran. She was a counterintelligence agent in the Army. So the joke there is that I agree with her a lot. I'm not sure why. that always
is that helps. Her laughing in the background?
No, she's not here. No, she's. Yeah, no one
laughed. I think that was me laughing.
Yeah, I think that was Devin. Yeah. So, you know, there's some, you know, she just came in as a whole, we were two whole people coming together. There was no, you know, there's no one thing, you know, but I can say certainly no codependency was there or anything of that nature. And we just fit. You know, right away, it's hard to articulate beyond that.
You know, I've talked about it many times in this on this show, that I've had really one friend of mine who had that experience that you're sort of describing, or having challenges describing, because I think that's what it is right. That he turned around. He was at the bank. He wasn't dating anybody. He wasn't interested in dating anybody. He was at the bank. He turned around, and the woman behind him, he was like, oh, that's my wife. And now they've been together for 17 years. They have two kids. They have a great relationship. And it's just that. And when I've said, dude, well, what is that? He's like, yeah, I don't know. but it just was. Yeah. It just was, you know.
I mean there's certainly an energy component here, right? I mean, I know that you guys are very conscientious about it and aware. And, you know, being aware of our own energy and that energy consciousness, but there's also how we affect one another energetically. And so the energy match, I think, had a lot to do with it as well.
How did you become the person who was capable of attracting and being in this relationship, as opposed to the person who was in all those relationships before?
That's a good question. My initial reaction is, I don't know. I've always been who I am. I was that person in those relationships too. There just wasn't the compatibility for the different reasons. Mm-hmm. But certainly growing up a lot over the years, you know, the emotional intelligence that kind of comes with the relationships as well. And, you know, being able to stay above things that maybe cause friction in prior relationships that maybe I just didn't have the experience and emotional intelligence to handle as well. But I feel like I'm reaching, honestly, a little bit with my answer here.
The reason I asked is because I know that you describe yourself as a well-being advocate. And I also know, and I didn't say this earlier, that you have a stated mission to enrich the happiness of at least 1 million people.
Happiness of over 100 million.
Oh, I'm sorry. I don't even know what I said.
Okay. Sorry.
Sorry. 100 million people.
Yeah.
So what have you learned that can help other people?
Well, I mean, a lot other life experience goes into that beyond relationships. And so you may have shared around my first book in Zeisms, which I was compelled to write based on very specific experiences. Mainly, I grew up as an athlete. I'm still an ice hockey player, and I played for Team USA. I was captain of Temple University, and you know that was always an experience that shaped me in its own way. And by the way, it wasn't the Miracle on Ice Team USA. I was just in that system, representing the country on European tournaments and things like that. But depression, you know, is something that certainly has been a defining part. My dad was bipolar. My mom was a depressive. I lost my brother Dave in 2012 as well. And, you know, I've had to contend with it in managing, you know, my own. My mom, it sounds kind of odd to just kind of give the laundry list here, right, of the major life events that come into play, but they all intersect. And she tragically contracted HIV in a routine blood transfusion in the early 80s. And it was just in the worst possible situation. And seeing her, you know, as a caregiver, you know, through those years, you know, nothing like that life experience, just to go through that and you know, that being as harrowing, you know, as it is. And of course, single dad, entrepreneur, nonprofit veteran, like I said, we're gonna, you know, the years just, they kind of add up. And so all of these life experiences, just as for anybody, you know, put me in just a point in life, having just been through, I think I've been through, yeah, everybody goes through a lot of things. I feel like I've been through, you know, a little bit, you know, I'm on whatever the spectrum is of being through things. I think I'm on the far side of it. So, you know, that just strengthens you along the way.
There's an unfortunate tendency in the personal development industry and some spiritual circles to kind of shame and marginalize those really dark nights of the soul. But I also believe that they are sacred, or they wouldn't happen. And they give you a capacity for compassion and holding the pain of others that you couldn't possibly have if you hadn't been there yourself.
Yeah, absolutely. I think that You know, one of the thoughts that comes to mind that I think applies to everybody in relationships and otherwise, and just a foundational concept in and around earned confidence, in that we've all been through everything that we have. We've overcome it. However, we have, even if now we're all going through certain challenges and we don't have the answers, we're survivors and we'll find those answers. And however difficult something might be now, experience tells us they won't always be that way. And so we have the earned confidence to know that we can deal with things in real time. And the how essential it is to be present as opposed to getting caught up in worry or anxiety or assumptions or anything having to do with uncertainties, you know, that's not, it's not going to be productive to put our energy there. So the same thing applies, you know, to relationships and keeping them grounded.
Mm-hmm. So, you know, I have to ask, because I still have a broken coho in my mother's garage that I can't get rid of. You know what I'm talking about, right?
What is a coho?
A hockey stick.
That's correct. So we used to, because I'm from Southern California, we used to put up broken ping pong tables and make that sort of the swing, you know what I mean, around the backboard. And then we would annihilate each other playing street hockey.
Of course.
You know, obviously you got to pretty much the highest levels, I would argue probably the highest levels that you can get to in terms of playing hockey. How do you think something like that enhanced or affected? Because I'm assuming you had not only a love for hockey, but a very specific drive to play at the highest levels. How do you think that affected or perhaps was a detriment in your overall evolution of self? Because I needed to talk about hockey. I'm just saying.
Of course. Hey, you know, I would turn this entire conversation into hockey. I appreciate it.
Don't mind me. Go ahead.
I'm happy to.
You know, to the point of the question, first of all, I never went pro. So I certainly a dream of mine, but, didn't get that far. But I got pretty far, and I think that, you know, I grew up on it. I'm in Philadelphia. So, you know, the Flyers, the Broad Street Bullies, for those who are familiar, you know, those were the years in the early 70s. I was actually born on the day the Flyers played their first game. So, you know, there's a little bit of maybe predestination there. One of the things that I think also really shaped me, early on is that when I was 8 in one of my first summer clinics, and this is, antiquated equipment. There were no face cages or anything. I actually took a puck in the face, slap shot, and broke my jaw in 3 places. I was a mess. And my poor mom. I mean, if I think about my kids now, like if that happened to my kid. And my Bobby Clark, who was the captain of the Flyers at that time, my parents arranged, and, you know, he came and visited me in the hospital and had a conversation with him about the love of the game. And I wasn't going to quit, but he certainly encouraged me not to. And I think that lesson, kind of a little bit of the proverbial get back on the horse, you know, as it were, but that resilience, even at that young age, taught me a lot. And, you know, I was captain of Temple. We were undefeated my senior year. I was captain junior and senior year. And so, you know, in that leadership role, it's just a part of me. So I still play every Sunday. I still sub in for teams. And that's going to continue.
Yeah. And, you know, just for folks at home who are not familiar, basically a slap shot to the face is equivalent to being hit in the face with a brick going 100 miles an hour. It's like hockey is a no joke, physical, demanding sport.
Yeah, this is a 17-year-old kid took the shot. I still easily recall it coming at me.
And you just can't get out of the way.
No, it curved. But, you know, look, nonetheless, I mean, you know, so I dragged through a straw for a summer, you know, it's just like anything in life. It was a long time ago. But yeah, I mean, those are the kinds of experiences and just, you know, just being the guy who talks on the bench and the camaraderie of it. And just, you know, there's a culture to this, to a sport and to the game. And, you know, that's certainly a lot that, that shapes you there for sure.
So your wife is a rock star.
She is.
That counterintelligence stuff. And then she's, I believe, some like top of the tippy top in network marketing world, which is
right,
makes her an extreme outlier. So not only is she stunningly beautiful, getting 300 or 400 applications, her like first venture out into online dating, but right, she's this super successful high achiever lady.
Yeah.
And I know a lot of beautiful, successful, high-earning women who are so frustrated in love, and they are kind of looking for mirrors of themselves instead of what I would say compliments. So like they think that they need a husband who makes more than them, which is really hard when you're making multiple seven figures already. It just makes the pool smaller. So I am speaking right now to all these high achieving women who are looking for their man and feeling really frustrated. What do you bring to the relationship that your wife needs?
Let me tell you more about me. No, you know, it's, you know, let me talk about, you know, Erica is a rock star, and, you know, she is somewhat of an outlier in that regard. You know, if I may, you know, her, you know, Isagenics is
and a lot
is the company.
Well, and a lot of men are intimidated by a woman of that level of success. And it brings out not very nice aspects in men who are intimidated by that. But you were not, like, you're a cheerleader. I don't know. Were you?
Oh, absolutely.
Oh, I mean, okay.
You know, for my part, you know, Erica was already doing this before, you know, when I met her. And I'd been running a nonprofit called the Internship Institute, which I founded in 2007. So I'm already coming at things from a nonprofit side. I'm not going to out-earn, you know, Erica to begin with, in that regard, you know, running an organization, you know, off grants and what have you. And as you know, Morgana, you know, there's more to the story there in terms of, you know, and we'll get to, you know, what transpired in and around the nonprofit in relation to the pandemic, you know, which sidelined it. You know, you mentioned something about the women that you're that we're talking to here, who limit themselves, who somehow feel that if, you know, being as successful as they are, that they only will match up with someone who is at least as so financially. And I think success has different definitions, and I don't think they're all financial. And you know, if somehow, some way, financial aside, certainly that's always a part of it. You can wake up and be in control of whatever you want to do on any given day. That's success to me. And so, you know, right. And, go ahead.
Well, there's also very often the men, and I'm sure this is true of women too, but I've noticed that very often the men who are best at the financial success have less emotional capacity. They've been focusing so much of their energy on like this expression of success or manhood or whatever, that they, if the woman is also looking for emotional support and emotional intelligence and nurturing, maybe less likely to find it in those guys that she's searching for, just an aside in my experience.
Yeah, it's true. I mean, I think it naturally comes back to compatibility in terms of how one offsets the other. I mean, I'd like to think I'm a little bit of an outlier, you know, in certain regards as well. I think you're right about, you know, again, just stereotypically, you know, if you over emphasize one part of your life, another about it's going to suffer. You might not have the, you know, we talked a lot about the experiences that go into just being, you know, where and who we are in life. I think that the answer to your question is that, you know, the women who are, I think they're pigeonholing themselves. I think that, you know, to broaden their, you know, what are those standards? Why have those standards? You know, you're only limiting your own happiness if that's what that is. And you know, so, you know, try some other guys on for size, I guess, is my reaction to that.
I think the greatest gift of a woman being financially free is it makes her free to choose the best man instead of have to seek out the best pocketbook. And so Erica picked the best man for her.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. You know, for her, the bar was low, is what she would say. So, I mean, just, you know, I was the first person she dated. It's crazy that, you know, you go on Match and have that kind of response that she got, and it just worked out the way that it did. But we do compliment each other, you know, very, very well. And I think that in the relationship, you know, one thing just from a, you know, what works for us, you know, we really have not had an argument as odd as, I don't know if that sounds odd or not. It's certainly odd in comparison to my first marriage. But, you know, look, I think that we're at a point where, you know, I talk about this in and around like swimming with the current and who is the current in a certain regard. And, you know, the best way to reduce any friction is to not let that problem happen. And so when you look at the relationship really in a very practical, you know, domestic way, and you look at whose strengths are whose, our responsibilities in running our home and lives are pretty evenly divided. And we don't really cross over very much on who does what or who at least is, you know, in you know, the driver's seat versus, you know, backing them up on things. And it's pretty, it just works well for us. You know, there's really not a lot to argue about, at least when it comes to the business of life. And I know it, you know, there are some in-betweens of things that neither of us like to do. But, I know my departments in terms of, you know, stepping in and, you know, just handling, you know, she doesn't have the patience to deal with, you know, technical support and, you know, service calls and things like that. It's just like, you know, when you need to step in for, right, you know, like
that's Devin's job.
Devin is, you know, your tech guy.
Yeah.
Her head will pop off 3 minutes into, you know, dealing with an agent who doesn't know what they're, you know, and I just have all the patience in the world. And we're both.
Devin doesn't relate to that at all.
No, she's being facetious.
Yeah.
Just for those at home.
Yeah.
So can we ask you about where Z-isms comes from and what was the inspiration and what, you know, what provoked you to that step?
Sure. The book itself more than the name, right?
So, of course. What's the inspiration behind the book?
So,
although the name may have a great story attached.
Yeah, there is a story. I don't think it's too much of a digression, but there certainly is a story behind the name. And Z-isms for, you know, the subtitle of the book is Insights to Live By. So we're talking about life lessons and experiences, and it really spans areas of just mindset and self-discovery and things like around perception and earned confidence is chapter one, as, you know, I already described it. And then when you get into well-being, so I speak about mood health and my experiences in and around depression, self-kindness in and around winning the battle within being so essential. And then it gets into areas of also reference energy consciousness, personal energy, just kind of being a life athlete in and around those types of things. And then we get into law of attraction and something called inevitability, which focuses on really self-belief in terms of achieving your big life goals and your legacy. And, you know, my career work and, you know, with the nonprofit certainly also comes into play. And it all comes together with a, you know, with kind of like a game plan. But the book is self-contained, like a book. It's limited as a book. So that's why, as things have continued to evolve for me, I've now developed courses based on it, mainly called the Z-isms Life Upgrade. But the answer to your question, Devin, I think has a lot to do, like earned confidence it really goes back to my mom. And in the later years, you know, when she was just, you know, was just deteriorating and, you know, we thought you'd lose her. And so many people go through this in one way or another, but you'd go through the anguish of saying, you know, this is it. And then thank goodness, you know, she pulled through and recover. And after a few times of that, you're like, what am I doing to myself? I can't do this. I can't put myself through it. It's gotta be, you know, what will be situation. And that's really at the foundation of her incompetence. You can only deal with things in real time and know that you can. And so over the years, and this was in my mid-20s, my mom's passed now over 25 years. It was just 25 years in March. And then, you know, the whole 12 or 13 years of seeing, you know, her going through all of that. So it's served me well ever since. And there have just been certain concepts around, or like, I haven't read another personal development book in quite some time. I hadn't really felt the need since probably my early 30s. So I really did it in a bubble, which is how I know that it's just different. Because it's based on these concepts that I don't really hear people talk about, earned confidence being a primary one, and certainly just all the experience combined and the number of things that we mentioned. I will say that I was between grants, and you know, Jake at that point was getting ready for college, so I was, you know, in a bit more of a transition at a reflection point. And I had some space, and I was like, well, what would I regret not doing? I think that's really what the impetus was. And so for anybody who, like, you know, now I talk to people about what, you know, about writing a book, and it's like, oh, I was never writing a book. A lot of people talk about that. Is it a book? Isn't it a book? You know what? Just sit down for a weekend and bang it out. Well, you see what you've got, and then show that to people. And then you'll know. And so for me, it was like, okay, I did that. And I was like, yeah, there's something really fully formed here. And at first I was like, oh, I got it. I did it. It was like, no, I'm not even close. And then, like, you know, a year later, the thing's done. But at that point, I was like, I'd almost come too far to turn back. Mm-hmm. And so I just kept my head down and kept going. And yeah, you know, I like finish things I start.
Who is the book for?
Yeah, I think the book is for... It's more for a when than it is a who. I'll just say that, because you have to be ready to work on yourself, number one, and deal with these, you know, the different topics that I mentioned. So if you are certainly in relationship aspects are part of it, and if you're in any kind of transition in life, you know, you really just have to be at that point, like, I really want to work on myself, right? I mean, that's, you know, as a self-improvement book, but primarily, like, from a marketing standpoint, as I come out and say, well, I've got the book, I've got the courses, you know, who am I speaking to? It's mostly, I think, women who are in, you know, 30 to 50 is I think, you know, in the
summer. Why 30 to 50 women?
I think that I don't. First of all, I'm reticent to, you know, to stereotype. Remember, I said this from a marketing standpoint. I have to choose, you know.
Well, no, right.
I've been there. I get it.
Okay, so
I actually think that's a very important period of life for a reason.
Yeah.
So I want to hear why. What's going on for women between 30 and 50 that this speaks to?
I think that, number one, there's a certain, and I can only speak from perception, being a man, that there...
Who has known and lived with and loved women for a long time.
It's true. But I think that, you know, look, you know, you come out of college, you know, you're in your early 20s. It's just a different part of life. You're not necessarily, you know, you're in the minority, I think, if you're, you know, ready to really dig into yourself at that point. I don't think you're ready. And I think that maybe people have to come through their 20s a little bit and go through some of the train wrecks that come as a result of their dysfunctions and the things that they're trying to work out through themselves, where they're like, you know what, I really want something different. And so maybe 30 being that, like, oh, you know, I think that's a trigger point for a lot of people, and women especially.
It's like that, oh, maybe it's me period of time.
Yeah, I think that, look, I mean, you know, I talk to my son about this all the time. I mean, you know, being a man is owning your shit. So, you know, I think people own up to that. Yeah, absolutely. And maybe by the time someone is 50, maybe they do have it. You know, I'm in my early, you know, Morgana, you and I are born in the same year, that they do feel as though they have it a little bit more figured out. Mm-hmm. Hopefully they have it more figured out by their 50s. So,
well, we do. And if we don't, it's really, really obvious.
Yeah. And it'd certainly be our fault by then. You know, it's a little late to blame your parents. So
you have courses. I don't want to step over this because we're like running out of time.
Yeah.
But I think this is really important. So can you tell us about your course?
Yes, thank you. And we can't forget Crazy Sexy 100, right? Talked about
that. That's we'll have a link in the show notes so that if anybody wants to learn more, we'll make that available. But so what is this course?
So it's the main course is called A Life Upgrade. And it's just, you know, putting everything that you know, I have into it to have the, you know, the maximum positive impact for people on all aspects of a lot of what we talked about, and really does start with self-discovery and mindset and really just getting, you know, to get back in touch with yourself. I don't know that, especially, you know, back to that, you know, if you get to 30, you know, have you really dug in? Do you really know what you want and in and around yourself? And you need that self-discovery as that foundation. And it's a video-based course that also has some readings in it that are not too intensive, but much of which is drawn from Z-isms.
How is a person's life going to change as a result of this course?
Right. Well, just to add one more thing is that it's about an hour a day for 29 days. There are activities that are in there. There's 12 units in four modules in 2 days a unit. So that's, and then you have, you know, the review. I think, you know, a number of ways, Morgana, you know, number one, there's that whole self-discovery element. There's a shorter course called the Mindset Reset, which is just based on that first module around self-discovery and mindset. And so getting that right, just to begin with, just that's the foundation for getting everything else right.
Absolutely.
Right. So then I think when we get into the well-being area, I don't really speak as much to nutrition, or I'm not, you know, your workout coach or anything of that nature. It really is more along the lines of mood health and speaking from, you know, that lived experience. Mm-hmm. Tools in and around defeating depression. I have a depression defeater in there. As well.
So especially women and men who are going through depression, this could be really, really useful for.
Right. Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's just one, it's one of 12 units, essentially, you know, trying to be comprehensive. I think the energy management, I don't think people are as aware of energy as they could be. A lot of my life stories are interwoven in there just as anecdotes, you know, keep it certainly very, very interesting along the way. But each one has all these PDF downloads that you're taking, you know, what was covered in the videos and the readings, and then really putting it into action. I think that's what the book doesn't do, right? It just doesn't, you know, that's
book can't. There's so much nuance in like your voice and the spoken word that you can't really get in a book.
Right.
So it's like your book, but in 3D.
Well, one of the things that happened also is after the book, and somewhat unexpectedly, I started my podcast. So I'm coming up on episode 60 now. So a lot of the book was built in to be the audiobook through those episodes. So what's in the original book has continued to evolve in and around the whole happiness concept, which, by the way, is about having a reflex of, you know, extreme optimism in real time, right? It's being present. So, can't help what happens to you, can help how you're in control of how you react. So that's really more about the life skill. It's not meant to be the derivative of happiness. So
I don't want to step over that. I know we're coming towards the end of our time. That is like such a powerful statement that you live. And, you know, maybe that's your whole message there, is because your living example that some horrible things happen. And that's just part of the game. And you can't control that. It's not your fault. It just happens, but it's how you respond to it and have a beautiful, happy life anyway. That's the whole point, right?
Absolutely. Look, depression aside, I just, maybe it's innate or my personality or just through learned life experience. I'm like relentlessly positive. I just have that reflex for whatever's happening. And it balances, things out for my wife too. I know Erica appreciates it. Sometimes on the other side, she doesn't appreciate how positive I am about things, but that's okay. Cause I'm still positive about that. But you're
positive going, people can be very annoying sometimes. Let me just put that out there.
I do wake up happy. So not to get into every detail and respectfully and thanking you for having me describe the course, it takes you through that. It takes you through, law of attraction as well into the entrepreneurial side. But that last module is about livelihood alignment. And I bring a lot of the resources that I developed on the career side for people to put into action in their career transition. So career is just a huge component in there. But ultimately, you're going to walk away with this like life enrichment action plan. 29 days is great for an hour a day, but then you gotta, it's only, that's a commitment right there. Block out an hour, still a commitment. But then after you come out of that, what do you carry forward? And customizing what resonated to put that into further action is, it's just as practical as I could make it.
How much does your life matter to you? And maybe the course is 29 days, but what you're really offering is a life, like a life worth living. That sounds wonderful.
Yeah, the life upgrade. We're right there. It's $497 for every, right? And then Morgana, just an appreciation as a thank you to, everyone here did a special gift code for Crazy Sexy 100. Just take $100 off using that. So,
wow! Thank you.
Thank you. We had a good laugh over that handle.
So we will drop that code and all the links to your book and to your course and your website so that everybody can learn more about you. I've loved having you on the show. I get such a kick out of your happiness with Erica, the woman on earth who's able to have a marriage in 5 years and no arguments. Tell me when she comes out with the counterintelligence course on how to win every argument. Sign me up for that.
It's again, who's the current, who has more to gain in any situation? And then you just, we're above it. You yield, it's like, yielding is better than fighting. But what I will say,
remember that, Devin, yielding is better than fighting.
I'll keep that. I'm going to take that pearl of wisdom and put it in my pocket.
Yeah. Look, it's an energy management thing. Do I really want to go through, 2 days of, or not agree? Okay. But there's one more tip if I could. I really would be remiss if I didn't say, given the topic of the show, real fast.
Go ahead.
When people are meeting each other for the first time,
your mind know how to mess
with you. Having these checklists. And to your point earlier, Morgana, and they're really, for me, I learned this a long time ago, there's only one checkbox that matters. And it's really about whether you're the energy side. Is somebody drain you or do they feed you? Whatever that polarity is, however it is that you match up, that energy connection matters almost more than anything. If they feed you, are they somebody who's going to, is it going to lead to something expansive as a man, as opposed to getting boxed in, which with regard, a number of women tend to do. So, do you support one another? Do you feed one another in life? And to me, if that's not there, nothing else is going to work well.
100%. I agree with you so much. Thank you. That is the perfect place to end. Thank you, Matt. Yeah. And this has been another episode of Crazy Sexy Midlife Love.
Thank you for listening to Crazy Sexy Midlife Love. Please sign up to join our free love family at crazysexymidlifelove.com. To get alerts to live shows, call in and ask questions, or just listen in. And ladies, don't forget to download Devin's free ebook, Women Are Smarter Than Men and Other Secrets Marriage-Minded Women Need to Know. Also available at crazysexymidlifelove.com. Thank you.